it's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was my guy Pull Up Tay on the intro music, and we are live back for another episode of the Auto Bid. Today I am joined by my twin brother Andrew Robinson, as always, and today we have a special guest. We have the new UT Martin head men's basketball coach and also an old conference rival, former Bethune-Cookman head coach Ryan Ritter. So coach, thanks for coming on with us today, man. Glad to have you on.
Man, fellas, thanks so much for having me. It's so cool to see you guys in this environment. I like preparing for this a lot better than trying to figure out how it's going to stop you guys. So appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, man, look, I will say, man, those games are over at Bethune-Cookman. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the episode, man. But definitely good to see you, you know, in your new job over there in the OVC, man. But you know, we're excited to have you on, and I want to first give the guys a little background for our viewers, man. So if you want to take us through, obviously, you're a guy that, you know, played. Also, you've had stops at the JUCO ranks. You've been an assistant. You were head coach at Bethune. Now you've gotten head coaching job at UT Martin, man. So kind of take us through your basketball journey, you know, from a player. Obviously, your kid was born in Lexington, Kentucky, and now, obviously, you're the head coach in the OVC, about 4.5 hours from your hometown, man. So just take us through your whole basketball journey and what brought you to UT Martin today.
Yeah, like everyone, it's been a wild journey, and just when you start thinking you have some things figured out, you know, life changes and opportunities arise. And so for me, obviously, I was born in Lexington, Kentucky, and you know, basketball is pretty important there. So if you don't play basketball, people think you have something wrong with you. So I was fortunate. My dad was actually an assistant coach at Berea College. So that's when I was born in Lexington, Kentucky. And he had an opportunity to move down to Florida, take an NAIA coaching job at Embry-Riddle University. And, he's been there 30 plus years, transitioned into Division II. And when we moved there, grew up in Florida, but obviously got my Kentucky roots, but grew up in Florida and was real fortunate, went up and played at College of Worcester for great head coach Steve Moore, Hall of Famer, Division III guy. Came back and played for my dad at Embry-Riddle, you know, another Hall of Fame coach, and had some success as a team there. Knew that, you know, hey, I want to play in the NBA. Well, I think we all realized that about 17, 18, 19, I was about 6'1", not super athletic, and those dreams were shot down pretty quick. But so knew I wanted to coach and was fortunate to actually was up in North Raleigh Christian High School as an assistant and got a chance to come back and work for my dad for a year. And then that's when Coach Lang at Campbell University gave me an opportunity. You know, I was 25, Division I assistant, had no idea what I was doing, but I knew I was supposed to work really hard, be loyal, be humble. And worked with some great guys on that staff, Charles Baker, who's at Little Rock, Brian Berg, who's now the head coach at Georgia Southern, one of my best friends, one of my biggest mentors. So did that for 3 years and was really fortunate to move to the junior college ranks at Daytona State. Took over a program that is traditionally very, very good, had fallen under some tough years, and took a program that was 6-24 the year before and won 4 straight conference championships, a great staff, great players. And that ultimately led me to the opportunity at Bethune-Cookman, where, you know, got a chance to compete against you guys, but was there 4 years and only got to obviously play 3 of those because we opted out last year. But, those 3 years, we were able to win a championship and finish in that top tier of the league and ultimately had the best, conference record percentage-wise as well as overall record there for a coach. And I've been lucky, and now I'm in at UT Martin and could not be more fired up to be here with the great staff and a good start to our recruiting class right now.
You're muted, Drew.
Yeah, no, wonderful, wonderful. Now, I definitely want to ask you this. You know, obviously, the UT Martin job obviously came open because of a terrible tragedy to the head coach, you know, Anthony Stewart. And I kind of wanted to ask you, man, like, what was that like for you coming into a job like that where, you know, the players have gone through, you know, so much? And obviously, you know, even, you know, his son, Parker Stewart, being on that team and then looking to transfer, like, did that factor into your decision to go there at all? And kind of like, How did you kind of process that when looking at this job and kind of what the school and the athletic department had been through with the previous coach?
Yeah, that, you know, it's such a tragic situation. You know, I didn't know Coach Stu great, but what I did know of him was, you know, he was an unbelievable man that really cared about young people. And he was using his platform to try to impact, you know, young people in a positive manner. And so I think the biggest thing for me was just coming in and trying to listen and understand, you know, that I wasn't here for that tragedy. But I can relate in terms of giving empathy and you know, just really trying to educate myself on, you know, the environment of UT Martin, of Martin, Tennessee. And, you know, obviously you never wish that on anybody. Was really, you know, got a chance to talk to his wife actually when I took the job, and just, you know, telling her that, you know, obviously a lot of people are excited about me taking the UT Martin job, but there's also that, you know, that sadness and that, feeling of, you know, hey, somebody's coming in to sit in, you know, my husband's chair. And so, yeah, there's a lot of feelings, you know, the emotion that the players had during the year. You have to be very sensitive to that and just try to understand where they may be coming from, whether it's grief, whether it's, you know, they're upset, you know, a lot of range of emotions. So really it was just coming in and trying to listen and learn and analyze the situation. But obviously condolences to him and his family as they still continue to try to grieve from you know, an unexpected tragedy.
Now, when Dr. Carver and AD Kurt McGuffin, when they reached out to you about the job, I mean, what were your initial thoughts, you know, about, you know, this job? What excited you about UT Martin and being a coach in the OVC? And what made you eventually say, you know, like, this is where I want, you know, to transition to leaving a program like Bethune and coming to UT Martin? I mean, what was it about this program that sold you on UT Martin?
Well, you know, what's funny is every year in March, you know, we've been very fortunate to have some success. So my name gets thrown around at some jobs, and even jobs I never even heard of, they're talked about. And all of a sudden I'll read my name. I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is. So I don't take that for granted. It's been, you know, really unique. My journey here the last 12 years. Well, this year we didn't play. So this was the one year my wife was like, well, hey, are we, you know, is someone going to be calling us? Ah, no, we didn't play this year. You know, we're just folks. We got a great team coming back. Excited to be at Bethune-Cookman. We had laid the foundation, thought we had our best team. And so it was really odd that I actually, you know, I was actually involved in a couple different things. And when UT Martin called, there was two things that just really stuck out. And you hit it. Dr. Carver and Athletic Director Kurt McGuffin, their leadership and vision for UT Martin was absolutely what got me fired up about this place. And then the second thing was the actual city of Martin. You know, I've lived in small towns. I understand the impact that athletics can have on a community and a school. And so the people of Martin, they're thirsting for something to be really successful and something that they can jump in and buy into. And, you know, they want to rep the UTM. They want something that they can be really excited about come November. And so you had the leadership and vision of administration, and then also the excitement of the town and knowing what athletics, how they can impact it. Those two were no-brainers. And then the last one that really tied it all together was everybody we talked to just talked about this was an unbelievable place to raise a family. I'm very fortunate. I'm married. I've got two beautiful daughters. And, you know, it had to be not just right for me, but it had to be right for our entire family. And you know, so when you tie all those things together, it just became more clear and clear that this was going to be a great opportunity for us.
Now, obviously, you know, there's a few differences between, you know, the MEAC and the OVC. You know, obviously, going into the OVC, obviously, you got, you know, the Murray States and the Belmonts. Obviously, you know, Morris State won that league this year. What are you, I guess, looking forward to most and kind of embracing the challenge of the OVC when you have potentially the opportunity to get into a conference that has gotten multiple teams into the tournament, you know, in recent history?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, every league has its challenges. I mean, you go back to the MEAC, you got your Norfolks, A&Ts, Centrals, you know, Coppin this year, Morgan now. Like, that's a really, really good league that people sometimes, you know, underrate because of the non-conference schedules. But when you really break it down, those are three, four of the best coaches I've ever been around. And yet the win-loss record maybe doesn't reflect it because of what we're being asked to do in the non-conference. So when it comes to February and March, there's some really, really good teams in that league. But, you know, the challenge with the OVC, you said it, you know, they've got the Belmonts and the Murrays have traditionally been really good. But, you know, you got young guys like Preston Spradlin at Morehead State who's building an unbelievable program there. And, you know, obviously Nate James coming to Austin Peay. And, you know, there's just so many great coaches that have been here but also coming into the league that, you know, to be in the OVC, I was born in Lexington, Kentucky. So to be a head coach in the OVC, like, I got to pinch myself every once in a while and say, like, dude, am I really getting an opportunity to do this? And, you know, I got a bunch of family back in Kentucky, and they think it's the coolest thing ever. They get to flip on the TV and, hey, my cousin or my nephew is coaching there. So the challenge is, you know, they're big in every league, but I think obviously when you said it, you've had multiple teams from one league get into the tournament. That's when you know, man, this league is extremely tough, and we've got to be prepared and diligent in the way we recruit and the way we coach and the way we go about our everyday work.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your staff. I know that you were able to, you know, put your staff together relatively quickly, and you've got Matt Lee, obviously he's associate head coach, coming from Kent State, obviously coached at Missouri State as well, where he coached Lee J. Johnson. He's, I guess, supposed to be the big recruiter on this staff. And you got a guy, Tim P, played at Tulsa, also spent some time at UNCG with Wes Miller. I heard he was a skills trainer in Memphis, worked out with DJ Stevens, and you got Denver Cobb, who you bring with you from Bethune, who was a defensive specialist with you at Bethune. So, I mean, talk to me, you know, about your staff, what went into putting that together, and what you're looking for with each of these guys as far as how they're going to, you know, help you to build this program.
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I'll get to the overall answer in a minute. But I'm gonna give you guys some breaking news here in just a minute, so you'll be the first ones to kind of know what's going on. But yeah, Matt Sly, associate head coach, he's got Tennessee ties. Really close friend of mine that was a junior college head coach, has obviously been at Missouri State and Kent State, and has recruited guys that have gone on to play in the NBA from mid-major programs. So his ability to recruit is big time, but his ability to relate to young people and obviously shares the same vision I do in terms of student-athlete experience was a no-brainer for us. And then, obviously, Denver Cobb was with me at Bethune-Cookman and, you know, wanted to have some familiarity on my staff to understand how we like to operate. Obviously, the guys that were at Bethune-Cookman, Dominique Taylor and Donald Reyes, unbelievable. Would love to have them here. You know, when I left that Bethune-Cookman, you know, Dominique is, you know, we think is going to be the head coach of Bethune-Cookman University, and Donald's going to have a chance to elevate and be in a different financial situation. So, you know, that's for them, that was better. For us, I wanted to have familiarity, or else, you know, love to have the opportunity to bring all my guys. But those two dudes that are there, love them. I think they're going to have a really great opportunity to be successful with Bethune-Cookman. And then, you know, you mentioned Tim Pete, and Tim Pete's a star, man. He's a Memphis guy. Really, really good, talented, has been with us for 2 weeks. And here's the bombshell. Unfortunately, Tim has been hired away already to another spot. So I've got to actually go back to the drawing board, and we've actually have not announced. We have a director of operations that we haven't announced quite yet. And then we'll end up hiring another assistant coach. And so obviously I knew Tim was really good, along with Matt and Denver. I'm always for getting my guys to go somewhere with a better opportunity. I think that's so big as a head coach, but didn't know it would be 2 weeks onto the job where, you know, my man was going to have a good situation. So we are going to, you know, open up that hire. Obviously, I've got the guys in mind that we're going to bring in here, but there you go. Tim Pete off the board already 2 weeks.
Hey, man, I guess when you're good, that happens, you know. So kudos to him for being that good, I guess. Hey, you know, best of luck at his next spot.
Well, that's the thing. You know, as a head coach, you want your players to be successful, but you also want your assistants to be successful. And the way they did it was the right way. The head coach called me and said, hey, I know this is really awkward, but you know, this is a guy I've wanted to hire for a long time. And called Tim and said, hey, man, you got a great opportunity. Obviously, I'd love to keep you. But if they're able to do X, Y, Z for you, then it probably makes a lot of sense. And so I wish him the best, man. You know, you never know how you link up. May have an opportunity to work together later on in this thing, but he's great. He'll be very, very successful. I know he'll help that program win a lot of games as well.
Hey, man, well, look at that. The Ryan Ritter coaching tree is already growing. You know, got a guy moving on, man. So you can put that one notch in your hat.
Yeah, didn't expect it that early, but hey, you know, it's all good here.
Now, man, I definitely want to ask you, man, like, obviously, you know, you mentioned it a little bit, obviously, but you know, coaching at the JUCO ranks, man, and, you know, taking a team that wasn't very good and, you know, winning four straight conference championships, coaching at Bethune and the MEAC, where, you know, y'all in that church gym, you know, it's no secret, man. I got that church.
That's where you put it.
The stage behind the basket, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a grind, you know what I'm saying? There are two situations where, like, you have to grind, man. How do you think that those situations kind of prepared you for this kind of where you come in? Obviously, you know, you're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit with having to recruit a new team and a coach, where we obviously mentioned – a school going through unforeseen tragedy, man. But how do you think that those other experiences that you've had, you know, having to kind of grind it out to, you know, get to where you are now, is going to kind of help you with this new job that you're at now?
Yeah, those two opportunities cannot have prepared me any better. When you go back to junior college, you know, those are yes, obviously you have an assistant, but you're doing everything. You know, it's the academics, it's the compliance, it's the travel, it's the coaching, it's everything you can imagine. You know, I'm setting up the gym, I'm taking out the trash, and that's who I still am. Blue collar grinder, like, that's what we want to be. You know, everyone, I hear these terms now. Hey, I get it out the mud, like, bro. We got it out the mud there. Like, this is the trench work. This is blue collar. We don't need anything handed to us. We want to earn everything we got. And so Bethune-Cookman allowed me to really coach. You know, when I got that job, I was 28 years old. I was scared to death. I had to sign 10 dudes. And I hired, you know, Dominic Taylor, my best friend in the world, obviously was with me at Bethune-Cookman too. But I was scared to death. I was like, man, how are we going to sign 10 guys? I didn't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden, we started 1, 2, 3. And I said, man, we're pretty good at this thing. We can get some players in here. And so that opportunity really showed me how to recruit, showed me how to manage, because, you know, junior college along with everywhere, but, you know, you just got something popping new every day. So you take that situation and then you go to Bethune-Cookman where it's the same grind, it's the same work ethic, but now you're at the Division I level. And, you know, it's not just about accumulating talent. It's about coaching them. It's about – and again, in junior college, there's 10 times better coaches than I am. I got great respect for that level. But when I went to Division I, you know, the preparation, everybody's got a full staff. You know, there's so many different things, moving pieces, that to be at Bethune-Cookman where we did have some probably challenges in terms of facility or maybe resources, but we looked at it as an advantage. I mean, I know when y'all came in, it was not fun to play at our spot. It might've been fun, but there wasn't very many people that could beat us in that gym. That thing was loud. You couldn't hear. And all of a sudden you're looking at the scoreboard, man, we're down 20. Because when we got on a run, you know, that thing, it was just shaking in there. It was hot, it was sweaty, you know. And I think in our, you know, 3 years, I think we lost 3 or 4 games in that building. And so we kind of turned those things into being an advantage. And it's kind of how we always looked at it. Keep the main thing the main thing and keep moving forward, focusing on the things you can control.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned recently was the recruiting aspect, and obviously now you're hitting the ground running with recruiting. We talked a little bit about some of the guys that you're going to bring in. Bernie Andre, guy spent time at Northern Arizona, had a really good career there. Obviously, also was at FIU. You got a guy in Darius Simmons coming up from Division II level, high level scorer. David Dedenko, transfer from Georgia Tech, and you got a high school kid, Grant Hurst, coming in, and we talked about another guy that you potentially be bringing from Bethune. I mean, just talk about a little bit about the classes that you're bringing in, and guys that you're, you know, excited about to be able to join your program next year.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, recruiting is the bloodline of your program. You know, there's so many great coaches out there, but you know, a big part of it is, and I say it to our guys all the time, you know, and you guys can respect this. You know, when I've been a really good coach is when I have really good players, and you know, that's the recruiting is the bloodline of what we're doing. And but recruiting has transformed for me, and here we've got to sign 13 guys. So the talent isn't going to be the issue. It's really evaluating character, skill set. Where do you fit in Martin, Tennessee? Where do you fit role wise in our program? Because like I said, there's going to be multiple talented guys. There's going to be 12, 15, 1800 transfers in the portal. But for us, the hard part is evaluating the fit here in such a short time. And you've got to sign 13 of them. So I'm big on roles. You know, I'm big on, I'm big on underselling and over delivering. So when we recruit a kid, he doesn't get to campus and say, "Oh, well, hey, you don't have this, we don't have that." That doesn't take place in our program. We don't guarantee starts, we don't guarantee minutes, we don't guarantee points, we don't guarantee gear if we can't get it. You know, we only guarantee the stuff that we can do, and that's going to be treated really well. We're going to compete our tails off. We're going to create a great student athlete experience, and here's where we see you fitting into our team. And I think that's why when you look at Bethune-Cookman outside of this year with the opt-out, we never had guys leave. We didn't have guys transfer because I think they valued what we were doing as an institution. And again, I'm a big fan of the transfer portal because I've taken a lot of transfers. But when they come here, very rarely do they leave our program. So for us, you know, we got signed 13. We've signed 6 guys right now. Feel very, very good about where they fit in our program, who they are as people. They're high academic guys that want to go to class. They want to work together. They're unselfish. They want to do something that's really special. And that's win a championship at UT Martin. So you know, those guys that you named, we've been very deliberate. We've built a relationship. And I think the most unique thing we probably do is, and this isn't a knock on anyone, it's just we just do it different. You don't see 100 different offers out there by UT Martin, verbal commits, whatever. I don't really do that because I'm going to preach family. I'm going to preach relationships. Well, how can I go watch a kid one time and offer them an opportunity when I don't know who they are? I don't, you know, I got to get to know and build a relationship if we're going to really, really be about family. So I think right now we have one offer out there that has not been committed. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we miss on 2, 3, 4, 5 guys a year, but the 6 guys we've signed, it's a relationship. It's not a, hey, I'm offering you a scholarship, which is important, but it's a, hey, this is a relationship, coach. I want to play for you and your staff. Hey, we want you to be here. If that makes sense to you guys.
Drew, I want to ask a quick follow-up, Coach. Obviously, you mentioned the transfer portal. You got a few guys that are in the portal now. To name a few, obviously, Eden Holt, Jaren Williams, and Ant Thomas. I mean, have there been any communication with some of those guys that are in the portal about, you know, potentially coming back? And if so, I mean, what have those conversations been like over the past few weeks?
Well, there had been some initial conversations. And, you know, with the tragedy that happened this year, you know, sometimes it is better for a fresh start. And so – definitely had some conversations with some of those guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, to be honest, it's probably just a good decision for everybody, you know, to make their own decision, whether that be here, whether that be somewhere else. But we kind of felt like at this point we needed to go a new direction and kind of bring our own guys in. And that's not a knock on those guys. Really talented players, had some success here. But ultimately, just because of so many circumstances, sometimes fresh starts are better for everybody.
Yeah. For you, man, Coach, I mean, we're talking about recruiting him, man, so I got to ask you this, man. I mean, what is the pitch, you know, when you're at Bethune, man? I mean, we recruits in the gym, man, and they see the stage behind the basket, you know what I'm saying? They don't see no arena seats. Like, what was the pitch? I mean, you're at UT Martin now, so you can give away what you were saying, you know what I'm saying? I just want to know, what was the pitch to those guys when they came? I mean, I know you are in Florida, so, I mean, that's not too bad of a place to go to college before you end, but I got to know, man.
No, man. So I'll tell you what, it's two things, man. The people at Bethune-Cookman are unbelievable. Great, 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 great people. I grew up playing in Bethune-Cookman's gym. Like, I'm from Daytona Beach, obviously born in Lexington, but I'm from Daytona. So I played AAU events in there. Like, I would hoop there all summer with the Cookman guys. So that was home to me. So I was very comfortable operating in that environment. But I'll tell you, and this is the honest truth, is student athlete experience. And I bring it down to three things. You got to have a great relationship with your head coach and staff. You got to have a great relationship with your teammates, and you have to have an opportunity to play. And if those three aren't being checked, somebody's going to be unhappy. We can have the greatest relationship, right? But if you're not playing, at some point, that relationship starts to falter a little bit, and that's okay. That's normal interaction. But so when we recruit these guys, it's all based on we don't sell facilities. We sold us. We had an unbelievable staff that literally dug into young people every single day. We're going to be in those dudes' lives for the rest of their lives, and that's. For us, that was the most important piece to recruit. And I know it sounds, you know, cliche, but that's the truth. We recruited guys that we thought had an opportunity to come in to be all league guys. They were all league guys. And when you develop that type of trust, the program starts kind of recruiting itself in year 2, year 3, year 4. And honestly, we didn't play this year. I thought we had our best team. I think we were picked really low in the league because we didn't have some of those higher profile recruits. But I knew the guys we were getting, you know, couldn't feel better about the roster we constructed this year.
I mean, what has this last year been like for you? Obviously, at Bethune, not being able to coach, not being able to go out and travel like a typical year. I mean, what has it been like for you as a head coach, you know, not being able to have that experience, watching other teams in your league, even fam who's, you know, a couple hours away in Tallahassee being able to play, and you guys at Bethune are able to play. I mean, what has that been like for you this past year?
Well, I think the first thing, you know, we found out mid-October that we weren't going to be playing, and so you go through an array of emotions. You know, you're upset, you're mad, and then all of a sudden you take a step back and you understand it's for the health of our student athletes and it's for the well-being. So then you kind of understand it, and then you kind of get over it a little bit. Hey, I understand this is for the betterment, and you're trying to take care of your kids, and then all of a sudden the first game tips up, and then you creep back into being a little disappointed and mad, and then you watch, you're like, no, that's okay, you're watching these games get canceled, you're kind of, hey, we made the right decision because of the safety of our student athletes, and then the conference comes, and you're watching fame and you're like, man, we should be doing this thing. And so it was really just an ongoing array of emotions for our guys. But for a staff, for us, it was trying to be that leading voice and guiding voice of just understanding that this decision was made for the betterment of our student athletes and for the well-being of them. And, you know, so we try to attack it one day at a time. How could we use this time to make our program better? And so what we did, honestly, we didn't have to worry about preparing for anybody outside. We prepared ourselves mentally, physically. We got a chance to get back in the gym in January. And that's the way we attacked that. And then secondary, got a chance to be in the community a lot more than I typically am. Was able to help raise some funds down that way and build relationships with people in town. So there was plenty to do in terms of that. But was it difficult to watch guys compete on especially in our league? Yeah, I mean, that was a difficult a year for us to just, you know, communicate that to our players that, hey, this is, I know other people are playing, but this is a decision we made and we got to focus on what's going to make us better, you know, come this next year.
Now, I do want to ask you like a question on a little more of a serious note. I mean, obviously this past year has been an array of things, obviously with the coronavirus pandemic, but it's also been a lot as far as, you know, racially with things that have been going on in America with a lot of the protesting and things like that. I wanted to ask you, Coach. Obviously, you know, you coached in the MEAC last year, and it's no secret, obviously, you know, being at Bethune and, you know, you being a white coach, I want to know, did you feel any extra pressure to say certain things or to speak out on certain things? What was that like for you being in the MEAC with all these HBCUs and all the schools? Obviously, you know, I always wondered, like, what that was like for you, what that experience was like, and kind of how you process that, you know, as a coach. You know, at an HBCU. So I wanted to kind of give you the platform to kind of speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's such a good question, and I'm glad you brought it up. Man, I'm so proud of my HBCU experience. Like, so proud. That place has shaped me probably more than anybody outside of my family has shaped me. And you know, it's funny you said, did I feel pressured? And not at all. Not at all, because I think when you have certain values and morals, number one, your kids are going to know that. But at the end of the day, I voiced my opinion on certain things because that's what I believed. You know, I've grown up, I think it's fair to say, I played basketball, grew up with lots of black guys, right? Lots of black girls, dated black girls, been around black people my whole entire life. I've never been black. I don't know what it's like to be black. I can't tell a young man who's black, hey, this is how you should feel. I don't know. But I did know that I didn't know that, if that makes sense. So for me to educate myself and learn and listen, these last 3-4 years have unbelievably shaped my views on different things. And so, you know, when all this stuff was happening last summer, truth be told, I got so upset about it. I'm watching, this isn't fair. I'm watching my best friend, Dominique Taylor, with his daughter walk down the street. And why does he have to worry about certain things I don't have to? And it just kind of hit me one day. And I just, truth be told, I wrote something on social media, not even care what anyways, it felt better for me to get it out. And, you know, just why is this happening? And I didn't realize this. I was the first Division I coach to speak out about it. And I started getting all these interviews and people saying, hey, you know, why at the time? And I didn't really plan on that. And I think some other coaches maybe felt, you know, that they should do something at that time. Or to me, it wasn't about that. It was about just, hey, this is some wrong stuff going on. My guys got to know I got their back. Like, this is how I feel. How do we get this thing in a better situation? How do we fix this? You know, why are we not communicating about how and putting things into action? And so for me, being an HBCU man, yeah, was it the first time in my life that I walked into a gym and I was one of four white people? Yeah, that was the first time. And everyone always says, what was it like being a white guy at an HBCU? It's like being a white guy at an HBCU. you treat people the right way. They treat you the right way. You coach them really hard. You win, the fans are happy. You lose, they're pissed. And that's what happens. You know, you walk on campus and you get something done, black, white, yellow, purple. It's that stuff has never changed. But to really understand better, you know, young black people's journey, the last 3-4 years have been, I'm unbelievably appreciative to have that opportunity. And it's, I know it's helped shape me as a man, a father, and you know, and a husband as well.
Now, also, you know, obviously you're coaching in the state of Tennessee, and another school in the state of Tennessee is going through coaching changes, or went through coaching changes as well in East Tennessee State, where you had a head coach that was fired after he, you know, essentially supported his student athletes for, you know, kneeling during national anthem. I mean, obviously you're different conference, different school, different university, but same state. I mean, you know, what is it like? What was it like, I guess, coaching, you know, as a head coach coming into a new university, the support from the administration, the support from the chancellor, I mean, what have they said, if anything, as far as, you know, just, you know, supporting your athletes and being there for them in times like this, where everything's going on in our society right now? I guess, what is your feeling with the dynamic at your university now, with everything that has gone on in the recent weeks with the George Floyd trial, everything that has been going on? Have there been any conversations between the administration and you about that type of those type of issues? And if so, I mean, what have those been like? And what is your feeling at this university now in the city of Martin, Tennessee, you know, now with considering things that have happened the past few months?
Yeah, another good question. You know, like I said, the support has, you know, from Athletic Director Kurt McGuffin and Chancellor, you know, the support for student athletes, I think, has heightened this past year. I think because of some of the events, I think the support on campus that I've felt, the support from administration, has been very good for our student athletes. Obviously, I'm 2 weeks in. I would not have taken this job had I not believed that the support for our student athletes would be there. I wouldn't recruit young men into this program if I didn't think they were going to be aided and helped and supported in their journey in life. So, you know, for me, I've been here 2 weeks and I felt nothing but support for our program and our student athletes. And, you know, I look to continue to have those discussions and conversations of not just our program, but our athletic program, our city, our town. How are we building this thing to be a better country? You know, that's I think, ultimately our goals. Let's lay our head down at night and say, man, how did I impact someone positively today? Black, white, female, male, whatever it may be. I know that our program's going to work our tails off to make this place better. Yeah, we're gonna try to win a ton of games. I'm not afraid to say it. I love winning. It's really fun. I think we've been pretty good at it. But ultimately, we use this sport as a vehicle to help young people and lay our head down at night and know that, hey, we try to make this place better.
Now, for you, Coach, you know, let's say, you know, 5 years from now, right, like, what does success look like for you at UT Martin? What are your goals for this program? What would you like to see this program go, you know, under your tenure?
Yeah, I think the goal, you know, the goal is the same every year. We're going to go out, we're going to try to win an OBC championship. You know, now, is that the expectation in year one? Probably not. But is the goal to go in there and compete our tails off and try to be at the top of the league and get hot in the tournament, go to the tournament? Yeah, that's our goal. But ultimately, in 3 to 5 years, I'd love to have a program that one is competing at the top of the OBC year in and year out. So I don't think you can define success by conference championship. It just becomes so hard in these leagues. But if we can compete at the top of the league, have a chance to win in the tournament, then I think we've done a very good job here. You know, the second part, and really the most important part, is graduating these dudes and having a plan for them life after basketball. You know, being there in 3 to 5 years when our point guard has his first child, or when he signs that first professional contract, or comes back and gets married and asks us to be in the wedding. That's how you define success for our program. But like I said, I'm not shy about it. I'm not afraid to say, hey, we want to win. We want to compete at the top, but we want to do it the right way and build it with the right young people.
Now, Coach, in your press conference, when you were asked kind of about recruiting, you said you were going to recruit 4-year guys, high school guys, maybe a sprinkle of JUCO guys. Obviously, you got it with immense JUCO ties. You had guys on your staff with JUCO ties. I mean, just talk about, you know, I guess your relationship with the JUCO world. I mean, what that is, I usually talk about when it was like earlier, but I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, is there a pro or a con or things that you like about JUCO guys compared to other guys or don't like? Or I mean, obviously now the cash cow, the transfer portal, and everybody's going on the portal for everybody and everything. But you've been a guy that has recruited, you know, D2 guys, high school guys. I mean, just talk a little bit about that and the JUCO dynamics specifically with the recruiting aspect.
Yeah, I love junior college. I got great respect for that level. Unbelievable coaches, really talented players. So we'll definitely recruit some junior college guys in here. But rather than putting a label on junior college or transfer or high school, it's really about the fit, because you've got, you know, people go to different spots for all different reasons. You know, whether you're a qualifier or you go Division II and you have an opportunity to play Division I late in your career because you're overseen, or, you know, whatever that may be. So, you know, for us, I will always be junior college will always be special to me. That's where I, you know, cut my teeth. I got great respect for those coaches. We'll continue to build relationships to those guys and recruit their players. But, you know, for us, it's everyone's, oh, man, you guys signed 13. What are you going to do? We're going to be diligent. We're going to take our time. We're going to evaluate the right way. We're going to evaluate what wins at Martin, what people want to see here, and how do we put that all together? And, you know, will we miss on one or two this year? Maybe. But I know it's not going to be from lack of evaluation and being very diligent in terms of we recruit. So, heck yeah, we're going to get after the junior college market, but also more importantly, just get after the guys that fit our program, what we're trying to do here.
Shoot, man, Coach, maybe we can get Dan Sandy to get a petition, man. You know, we can, you know, bring me an ace back, you know, get my guy Cottrell Pope back at UT Martin, you know, from our year, man. We have a little, you know, shoot, you got 13, maybe we can fill three of them right there.
Hey, you might have an extra year of eligibility with all this stuff, man. You looking at it, let me know. We got y'all ready to go.
The way our season ended, man, I mean, we didn't get to finish. Y'all didn't get to finish our season that year in the MEAC, man, over in Norfolk. That's my biggest what if, I mean, in all of probably life, you know what I mean, the way that, you know, our season started with the non-conference wins and then the way that we were playing at the end of the year. And I think it's going to be a fun conference tournament, man. And I hate that we didn't kind of get that cap on our last year. When you guys didn't have a cap on your last year playing at Bethune, I mean, it's unfortunate and crazy, man. So, I don't know. I mean, if you have any thoughts on that, you know.
I was just going to ask you guys because I know – so we had six seniors that year. And, you know, we had some really good wins. And then we had – you know, we just struggled a little bit. But, you know, we had won – 5 out of 6 going down the stretch. And we felt like, you know, when we got to the tournament, it was like, hey, this is like, we're about to get this thing. You know? And I'm like, I know Morgan felt that way. I know Coppin did. I know A&T did. I know, like, who really left that deal and was like, you know, I know when we left, we're like, we're winning that thing. I mean, it was done deal. Who really did think that way?
It was crazy. We literally won our last three games in a row coming into the conference tournament. We got our guy, Kamar McKnight, back. That was like a leading scorer in non-conference.
Yep.
And it was like, all right, man, we made it to the rock and roll, man. And we had lost to Norfolk twice. We were like, ain't no way they beat us three times in a row. We get them. It was like, all right, we going there to win this thing. You know what I'm saying? It was, I think the only teams that really left and didn't feel that way was probably like South Carolina State. I know Howard had beat them. Like the team that lost. I think that's really probably the only team that probably felt that way.
We always laugh. We laugh now, but at that time it was like, our staff would always talk about, man, we were getting ready. I'm like, guys, you realize everybody felt that way. If you did it, then you might as well pack it up and not come, because if you walked in there thinking you weren't winning it, it's not going to be a real good situation.
Exactly. And I'll make fun of you about this, Coach. The way that my game ended at Bethune, I don't even remember this, but I fouled out with like 18 minutes left in the second half. I had like four fouls at halftime. The book said I had three. The ref said I had four. I mean, like, I don't know what's going on with the refs over there, but dude, man, I mean, spooky.
I tell you,
in that gym.
We lost three games there for a reason.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell y'all, for all the viewers on this podcast, man, spooky things happen at Bethune-Cookman's gym, man. So I'm glad that Coach Ritter is over at UT Martin, man. This has been, you know, a whole lot of fun having you on this episode, man. We definitely thank you for coming on. And obviously, we're going to wish you the best of luck at UT Martin, man. And, you know, we're going to be following you guys. And, you know, thanks for giving us a little bit of a scoop with your breaking news today as well.
You got it, man. Hey, thank you, guys. Hey, so proud of you guys and what you're doing. I loved competing against you. Well, I didn't love it, but I love seeing young people grow and do what they're passionate about. So, man, if there's anything I can do for you guys, definitely appreciate it. And best of luck as you guys continue this journey.
Thanks a lot, man. Well, you guys heard it here first. Make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. Make sure you guys are retweeting and sharing our content on social media. This has been another episode of the Auto Bids. We are going to let my guy pull up Tay, take us out with some music, and until next week, folks.
We talk about, take your best shot, I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You beating on me.
I can tell.
It's time to get a check, boy.
Check, boy.
You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me. What's the topic of discussion?
What we talking about?
Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.
Yeah. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion? Look. Take.